So caramu is a similar to a mirror bush. So it's got quite a glossy green leaf and sort of small, kind of grows a bit like a twisted sort of vine, and then can grow into quite a substantial tree once it gets a bit of age to it. It came over from New Zealand, and it's also a wetland species plant over there. So once it gets into a wetland in Australia, it has a really strong ability to dominate and sort of take over. And the main issue of that is it will push out all our own species that we have, and it can then become quite an invasive plant. So my name's Morgan. I work for the Derwent Catchment Project. I'm the on-ground business unit manager, and we're looking at caramu along the River Derwent, and we're just treating it as a noxious weed.
So can you tell me about the Derwent Catchment Project and what's it all about?
Sure. So the Derwent Catchment Project is a community-based land care group. We do work for a range of different stakeholders, ranging from local governments through to farmers and landholders. One of our main focuses is weeds such as caramu, which can change the ecosystem along a riverbank. And getting on top of them allows us to have a healthier ecosystem.
It's an overcast day in southern Tasmania, and four workers are squelching along the banks of the Derwent River as they saw, cut and poison piles of whippy green plants. With lush foliage and bright orange berries, caramu looks pretty similar to European holly. For these workers, however, the plant does not bring the holiday season to mind. Getting rid of this weed is hard yakka.
It gets into the waterways, and that makes it really hard to actually physically treat. At the moment, we mainly focus doing a cut and paste technique, which involves getting your hands in there with some saws and cutting it off above waterline or above the soil and then treating it with herbicide. So if it gets into a very soggy wetland, that can make life very hard.
I imagine it makes the process of getting it out quite expensive as well as labour intensive.
Yeah, so it's not a straightforward job. As you sort of saw out today here, that it's taken a few people quite a long time to do a small stretch. We've probably only covered 50 metres, and it's going to take us another few days to get to the same spot. So unfortunately, it's not something you can come along and just spray out quickly and fast. It is an expensive process that we've been getting funding through quite a different level of grants. So it's a joint stakeholder approach. So we have state government helping out, Derwent Estuary Program, local council here, the Derwent Valley Council, and Parks and Wildlife have all helped out sort of funding the program, and Parks and Wildlife also help out by doing some treat themselves.
With that many people involved, is it fair to say that, you know, this weed is of concern?
Yeah, caramu is of great concern. We've got some other little spots around Tassie, but this is the main infestation along the Derwent, and it's at a point where we're hoping we can actually eradicate it. A lot of weeds go through different levels of triage, and to be at a point where you could actually nip it in the butt and get it off the land would be amazing. So hence the all-hands-on-deck approach.
How long do you think it's going to take to completely rid Tassie waterways of it?
Could take a while. Yeah, it's years. It's definitely not going to be a couple of years, probably above five. It's just a process of making sure we can have the continuous maintenance to keep up with it. Towards a decade is probably what we're looking at.
Caramu. I've never heard of caramu before. At first I thought, like I told you earlier, that it was caribou, yeah. A four-legged animal. Do you think is this a weed that has kind of gone under the radar?
I would say so in some aspects because, as you said, it's not commonly found in people's backyards. It doesn't dominate large areas that people use productively. So rivers and waterways are a bit of an issue for weeds such as this because they're out of sight and out of mind. It looks green. It looks lush. So to the untrained eye, when you're walking past, it just looks like it's meant to be there. Most people will probably cast their eye upon it and think, oh, well, it's helping stabilize the bank or it's helping it be green. But there is obviously the downsides to that. It becomes a monoculture and then we have follow-on degradation of the banks.
Brody Atkinson is an on-ground team member and knows well the difficulty of controlling a weed once it's in the environment. He says because caramu doesn't look like a weed, landowners are less likely to treat it like one and often aren't even aware they have a problem.
In these spots, it's been a little tricky. We've had to deal with tide, which is quite a large issue because it's not really worth going for the bases of a lot of these plants once they're underwater because obviously then we can't poison them. It just also makes the accessibility hard with the tide up working so close to the edge of the water. But also you spend, at some of the other sites we've been working at, you spend 60, 70% of your time just trying to cut your way in to actually get to the base of the plant. And actually dealing with it from there isn't the hardest bit.
I think the goat's trying to eat my key card.
Yeah.
So the goat seems to enjoy eating this weed.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy pulling it out?
It's a bit of a pain in the ass, to be honest. It can't really decide if it wants to be a vine or if it wants to be, you know, a shrub or a bush or anything. So it will pretty well grow on or through or out of anything. And like the big stump I was just dragging there, like the original stump was actually a willow base that had then been regrown by the caramu.
So it's pretty hectic stuff.
It's pretty gnarly. Yeah, it's just disappointing because it doesn't look super ugly, so everyone doesn't pull it out by themselves.
If it's mostly concentrated around wetland areas and waterways because it requires that level of moisture, is it going to be a concern for a lot of people or just, you know, farmers and landholders that are along the river?
It's also in areas like at the bottom of Mount Wellington, so there's areas down towards Huon. So it doesn't always appear too far away from a wet, moist area, but you do also find it in people's back gardens because it's a strong plant. It's, you know, it does what it wants to do. It grows fast and grows quick. So you will find it in some landholders. For instance, along the Derwent, we've found it high up on the banks next to Norfolk. So it can grow further away. So it is something to keep an eye out for.